a little bit challenging with Mincha Maariv getting a little bit later. So this will be the last one of the season, and then what we'll do, God willing, is pick it up in Elul as we always do. Oh, sister is here. Wonderful to see sister. A family wedding yesterday, very special to be together on that occasion, and Naomi is here as well, so, and good to welcome Eva back. We were saying hello to you, but you popped. We were just actually talking to the George Washington Bridge, so in any event, it's always wonderful to be together, and with the season getting so much later, it's almost we'll wrap it up this week and wrap up the 6-part series on Eliyahu, and then of course the beginning of when we get back into this next year. But we always have a special Elul, pre Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that will be towards the end of August, September, around that time. We'll get back into it, and years past we've done Yonah. I haven't really decided yet what we should focus on, but when we pick it up in Sefer Melachim, we'll have basically the whole first half of that year after the holidays will be Elisha and his career. And so today, we're really, the goal is to summarize the last 5 weeks and what we've talked about in terms of who Eliyahu is. And again, I want to refer back to the beautiful letter that Herb composed, which I thought was just incredibly characteristic of his insight, as usual. That Eliyahu, there's something very beautiful about his relationship with God, but it is not a relationship with others, and it is a personal relationship with God, and that obviously compromises his prophetic mission. We talked last week about the repeated question, Ma lecha po Eliyahu, Ma lecha po Eliyahu, Ma lecha po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you not with the people? And Eliyahu says, well, I'm all alone. And that is true, but to an extent, he very much chooses to be alone. And that's something which is, I think very, very significant, that Eliyahu's perception of himself as somebody who is alone and who will be alone and, who will remain alone, is a kind of perception which is... in a way, a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Ovadia, by contrast, saved, 100 prophets, the Mea Nevi'im that Isabel was looking to destroy. And, Eliyahu could have become best friends with Ovadia. Ovadia was described as perhaps the most God-fearing of all people in Tanakh, Haya Yareyes Hashem Me'od. And yet, that company isn't sufficient for Eliyahu, whose self-perception is very much, as one who continues to perceive of himself as alone. And when we talked about how he, as a result of all that he accomplished on Mount Carmel and Har Carmel and the great conviction that he brought to the people, when he was able to, so to speak, bring God down in fire, and we'll certainly talk about fire again today as an image of, Eliyahu's religious conception. So bringing God down in fire, and he had convinced everybody, including, Achav himself, of the veracity and the truth. Wonderful to see Eli. And there's one holdout, right? There's literally one in terms of Isabel, and apparently not having that universal affirmation sent Eliyahu, away, instead of, him saying, look, we've made so much progress, and, you don't build these things overnight. He's not able to take that perspective, and that is, in a sense, the end of his prophetic mission, right? He's told to anoint Elisha at this point, and so what we'll take a look at today, chariots of fire, and hopefully we'll appreciate, the imagery of fire so much more, because that has been from the very beginning, Ki Hashem Ba'esh Yavo, really the signature of Eliyahu's prophetic vision, and the fact that he, of course, ascends in chariots of fire is far from arbitrary. It's the very apotheosis of his life and his religious mission. And though, of course, there is, this eschatological chapter that I want to talk about as well. So with that, let's jump right in. Let me hopefully share my screen. So what we're going to do is, again, this is quite a departure methodologically from what we're used to, but I want to just move ahead. And, you know, again, like I said, you know, next year after the holidays, we'll pick it up, you know, serially, as we always do, with the very beginning of Melachim Bet, which is the second half of Sefer Melachim. Umalach Adonai Dibir Aliyah Tishbi Kum Alei Likrat Malachei Melech Shomrom Redaver Alihem Hamiblein Elohim BiYisrael Atem Olchim LiDrosh Beval Zvuv Elohei Akron. So the truth is that Eliyahu does have one more mission, as we'll see. We have to take the challenge once again. This is Ahaziah, as we'll get to see next year in terms of all the details. The specifics are not so important, but again, the Jewish people are seeking direction from Avodah Zarah. In this case, not from the God of Lebanon, not of Baal, but Elohei Akron, the God of the Plishtim. V'alchein ko'amar Adonai ha'mita asher alisa sham lo tered mimena kimos tamos v'yilech eleha. So he tells Ahaziah that he's going to die as a result of this. V'yashu ha'malachim elav v'yomer alehem azeshavtem v'yomer elav ish alal likratenu. There was a man who was coming to, you know, greet us. V'yomer elenu l'chu shuvu al ha'melech asher shalach etchem v'dibartem elav ko'amar Adonai ha'mibliyein Elohim b'Yisrael ta'shaleach l'josh b'val zvuv Elohei Akron. So the messengers of the king of Israel come back and say, we met this man, this unidentified, you know, anonymous man, and he says that you're going to die. So describe him to me. It's a man of hair, ve'ezor, or azor b'masnav, and he had this leather belt that was girding him. Vayomar Eliyahu HaTishbihu. This is Eliyahu HaTishbi. Vayishlach ilav sar chamishim v'chamisha v'yal ilav. V'nei yoshev al rosh ahar v'yidaber ilav ish Elohim ha'melech diber reda. So Eliyahu is sitting literally on top of a mountain. Very, clear imagery, as we'll discuss. You know, as if he's reaching for the heavens, trying to ascend from the earth. You can climb the tallest mountain, but gravitational force is still at work. We'll get there. And he sends, a relatively low-ranking officer, Ahaziah does, with 50 soldiers to, arrest Eliyahu and bring him in. So, Vayan Eliyahu, Vaydeber al Sarah Chamishim, Vim Ish Elohim Ani, he says, yes, you address me as such. If I am the man of God, Tered Eish Min HaShamayim, okay, shades of Hara Carmel, let fire come from the heavens. V'sochal oscha v'escha mishacha, and will consume you. V'teredesh min ha'shamayim v'tochal oso v'escha mishav. And so Eliyahu brings fire down again, and it consumes this man and his 50 soldiers. Yashu v'yishlach ilav sar chamishim acher. So Ahaziah is as yet undeterred. V'chamishav v'yan v'yidaver ilav ish Elohim k'amar ha'melech mehera reta. V'yan Eliyahu v'yidaver aleihem im ish Elohim ani teredesh min ha'shamayim. So once again, in fire, Eliyahu brings down God, God of justice, God of vindication, and it consumes the 51 men alive. A third officer, Vayichral Berkav, the man understands very well that he is coming to the end of his road. L'neged Eliyahu v'yischanen elav v'yidaber elav ish Elohim tikarna nafshi v'nefesh avadecha eilech hamishim b'enecha. And he begs Eliyahu for mercy for himself and for his 50 soldiers. V'yidaber malach Adonai el Eliyahu reid oso al tira mipanav. More than just a moment. So a malach has to call to Eliyahu. Eliyahu doesn't naturally respond with compassion. And the Malach tells Eliyahu, don't be afraid, you can go down with him. Vayakom vayered oso al ha-melech. Vayidaber ilav korma adonai yana asher shalachta malachim lidrosh b'val zvov. So he comes to the king, Elohei Ekron, he says, you have sought out not God, but this idolatry, ha-mibliyei melohim b'Yisrael lidrosh b'dvaro. V'achein ha-mita asher alisa sham lo sered m'mena kimos tamos. Again, this is what Eliyahu was told to do at the very beginning, but sort of reverting back to his old ways, Eliyahu didn't go straight to the king. Remember, previously he had gone to Ovadia instead of going to Ahav, and here and he had gone to these messengers. In the meantime, two officers and 100 soldiers had been consumed in fire, you know, before just being able to communicate this message directly. Layamos kidvar Adonai asher diber Eliyah vayimloch Yehoram tachtav bishna shnayim leyoram ben Yerushafan melech Yehuda ki lo yelo ben v'yesher diber Achaziah asher asah Elohim maksuvim al sefer diber hayamim l'malchei Yisrael. So the last, you know, prophetic moment, so to speak, of Eliyahu's life is a moment of death and destruction through fire. This is all, of course, after Lo Va'esh Hashem. And Eliyahu, of course, speaks the truth. But there's no sense of having made inroads. One has a very strong impression that things have moved backwards from Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. And this, of course, is an indication that you can have 51 people incinerated, another 51 people incinerated, but ultimately it's not really breaking through. I think even more significantly, and this is the more subtle piece, you know, Eliyahu has this connection to God where he can, you know, bring down fire on these people. He's surrounded on, you know, he's on a mountaintop and he's surrounded by soldiers, and, you know, he can call down these, you know, these drone strikes, you know, and, but he's the one who's afraid. That to me is the most striking detail. The Malach calls out to Eliyahu and says, don't be afraid. It's a sense of fear. Fear, I believe, that impedes his ability to... A person who's afraid can't really connect with people. Those are mutually exclusive emotional experiences. It's so striking to me, the Malach says to Eliyahu, don't be afraid. It's so reminiscent of what happened with Yizevel. Why is he afraid? It's like Eva was saying last week, he has all the momentum on his side, but he's afraid. And I think that that's important to understand about Eliyahu. That you would think that everybody's terrified of him, and they are. He's scared himself. And as we say, the fire again, an image of God as a God of fire, you can kill a lot of people that way, to be sure, but can't influence people that way. The moment when, you know, as we've spoken about over the course of the last 5 weeks, when Eliyahu reached his greatest influence was when he brought down not fire, but rain, but water. Life for the people. Well, now of course we turn to the chariots of fire. The last scene of Eliyahu's, at least the first round of his early earthly mission. Walking together. Language of the Akedah. It's very beautiful. Elisha refuses to leave Eliyahu. He won't leave him. He walks together with him. For Eliyahu spent so much time saying, "Ani notarti l'Hashem levadi." I'm by myself. Finally, Eliyahu is not alone. Vayitzu v'nei hanavim asher beisrael Elisha vayomri elav hayadata ki hayom Adonai lokeach es Adonecha me'al roshecha vayomri gam ani yadati echasher. So they mock, the other prophets do, they mock Elisha and they say, you know, Eliyahu is going to be taken away, and the clear implication is that, and then you'll be nothing, because all you are is just an extension of Eliyahu, a misharis, and when he's gone, you, who's a non-entity, you'll be nothing. Vayomer lo Eliyahu Elisha shev na po ki Adonai shlachani Yericho. So now they want to go to Yericho. Vayomer chay Adonai v'chein av shechay mezveka vayavo Yericho. You get a sense of the kind of stuff that Elisha is made out of. He's being mocked by the Nevi'im. Even Eliyahu from the other direction is telling him to, you know, let him go. Once again, Vayikshuv v'nei ha-Nevi'im asher v'yericho Elisha vayomer elav hayadata. I know. Be quiet. Vayomer lo Eliyahu a third time. Shave na po ki adnai shlachani a yardena. Vayomer chay adnai v'cheina shechayim ezveka vayolchu shnehem. Again, the vayolchu shnehem yachdav. It's the Akeda imagery. Very powerful. Vachamishim ish. There's a motif of 50 men again. Mibnei ha-Nevi'im halchu vayamdu mineged mirachok. Of course, Mirachok, Vayar Samako Mirachok, and Yakeda. Shneyam Amdu al Hayardain. Vaykach Aliyoas Adarto. He takes the Adaret, that mantle that he initially stretched over Elisha, as we discussed last week. Vayiglom, Vayaka Samayim, Vayichatsu. Hena Vohena. The water splits. Vayavu Shneyam Becharav. Vayich Avram Eliyahu Amar Elisha Shalma Aselach B'terem Elakach Meimach. So Eliyahu says to Elisha, tell me what it is that I can do for you before I am taken. Vayomer Elisha V'ina Pishnayim B'ruchacha Elah. Amazing idea that we'll talk about a lot next year. Elisha says, I want double the Ruach that you had. Double your prophetic spirit. What do you mean by that? Is that a quantitative doubling? It may mean something else, but hopefully in October we'll come back to that idea. Vayomer hikshisa lishol. He says, that's a difficult one. Im tirah usi lukach meitach, but if you'll see me in my ascent, yihi l'chache, and then it shall be so. V'mayim lo yeh. V'yihem ha-holchim haloch v'daber, v'nei rechav esh. Chariot of fire, v'susei esh, and horses of fire, v'yafridu ben shnehem, that separated them. V'yal Eliyahu b'se'arah ha-shamayim. And Eliyahu ascends the bonds of earth, he transcends them. V'lisha ro'evahu mitza'ek, avi avi rechav yisrael u'farashav, v'lo ra'ahu od. Vayachazek bivgada vayikra'im lishnayim v'kirayim. The vayilchu shnehem yachdav, the father-son imagery. Here we have the source of how teachers are fathers. Vishnant l'banacha, the Rambam says it works in the other direction too. Minayim, the Rebbe is called an av. Avi avi rachav yisrael ufarashav. And of course, Elisha tears kriya. Vayarim es aderes Eliyahu, and he picks up the cloak. Asher naflame alav vayashu vayamod al smas hayardein, and he stands there. Vayikach es aderes Eliyahu asher naflame alav vayakes hamayim, strikes the water. Vayumar aye Adonai Elohe Eliyahu afu vayakes hamayim vayichatsu. The water splits again. Heino veheino vayavor Elisha, and Elisha is able to cross. Vayiruhu v'nei ha-Nevi'im asher b'Yericho mineged vayomru nacharu ach Eliyahu al Elisha vayavo likraso vayishtach avulo arza. So contrary to all of the mocking that Elisha had endured this entire time, namely if Eliyahu is taken, then Elisha is nothing. Now they realize that Elisha actually is cloaked, tarte mashma, in the spirit of Eliyahu. They hadn't considered that possibility. It's interesting, Yerushalmi, that what were Eliyahu and Elisha talking about? Af Eliyahu lo niftar me Elisha lemitoch tvar Torah vayihem holchim aloch v'daber v'mayu oskin. The first is Kriyashma, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, as the Pasuk says, V'divar Tavam. But importantly, V'shinant L'banecha V'divar Tavam. Like a parent-child relationship. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi would say Bebrias Olam Hayu Oskin, they were involved in metaphysics. Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu. Rabbi Yehuda Breda, Rabbi Evo Omar Rabbi Nechmos Yerushalayim Hayu Oskin, the future of the Jewish people. Dabro Alev Yerushalayim. Rabban Rami Bimerkava Hayu Oskin. Four different conceptions ranging from Kabbalah Smachos Shemayim, Bias Olam, Ma'asim Merkava, Nechamos Yerushalayim. Hard to know exactly, but it was a relationship that was defined by Torah and that you know, ultimately concluded in this Torah conversation. Eliyahu's story goes on in two ways. The first sense in which Eliyahu's story goes on is that it's not that Elisha takes over as prophet so much, or that Elisha is the next prophet so much as it is, Elisha is an extension of Eliyahu's incomplete prophetic mission. That is the imagery of the aderes, of the cloak, of the mantle. That is the fact that he trained him. And of course, Elisha will be someone, and we'll talk about this much more, pishnayim, maybe not in the quantitative sense, that if you would rate Eliyahu's, you know, nevuah as 99, you would rate Elisha as 198, but maybe pishnayim in the sense of ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chavero. Having the Ruach Eliyahu, that incredible power of Eliyahu and his connection to God, but able to somehow extend that to man. It's interesting. Eliyahu's career is defined by fire. The first miracle that Elisha performs, water. You go back to the very beginning, Eliyahu withholds the water. Brings the fire. Elisha's first prophetic act, sans Eliyahu, is to split the water. But interestingly, to split the water, not walking away for the people, that is to say, crossing the Jordan to the east, but crossing back from east to west, to draw closer to the people. And so, Eliyahu's incomplete mission will find its completion through the persona of Elisha. Elisha's nevuah is completing the task that Eliyahu could not complete. On the paradigm of Yehoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayismoch Es Yadav Alav Vayivarchehu Venasata Mehodcha Alav, Yehoshua was sent to complete the unfinished work of Moshe as it concerned bringing the Jewish people into the land of Israel. On the model, Akeda, of Yitzchak continuing the work of Avram. B'chol ha-beiroz asher chafru b'mei Avraham aviv sitmum plishtim ha-imolum ha-avar. And Yitzchak, you know, opened those walls again. V'yikra lehen shemos ka-shemos asher kara lehen aviv. And so, Elisha and Eliyahu are decidedly within that mold. Not a new chapter, but a continuation of the previous one. The second way in which Eliyahu, of course, goes on is that God chooses to make an exception to the only certainty of life, which is death, and that Eliyahu transcends, again, the bonds of earth and ascends to the heavens. Basa'ara ha-shamayim. And that, of course, becomes the basis of what we have at the end of the prophetic era, entirely in Anochi Shaleach Lachem as Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. And the Abravanel explains, you saw in the sources I sent around, that that's what it means. V'heshev levavos albanim v'lev banim alavosam. That here this Eliyahu figure will come back and he'll complete his work. He'll bring great peace to the Jewish people, great understanding and mutual understanding between fathers and sons, sons and fathers. And so Eliyahu will have an opportunity to complete his own work, not only through Elisha, but to come back. We discussed the significance of Eliyahu at the Seder and Eliyahu at the Bris Milah. And, you know, I mentioned that Rabbi Lamb's approach was to suggest that it was based on this idea that, you know, we want to show Eliyahu we're not so rotten after all. We're involved in mitzvos, but I thought it could be maybe more precise than that. Because it's not just any two mitzvos, but if you had to pick two mitzvos that are the paradigmatic father-son mitzvos, it's Bris Milah, the ultimate mitzvah Sabein Ala'av, father-son mitzvah, and Vihigat Levincha Bayom Ahu Leimor. That Eliyahu's appearances, so to speak, these allegorical appearances at Seder night, at Bris Milah, are about the idea of unfinished business. The way V'heshev Lev Avos Albanim, that fathers and sons and fathers, generations complete the work of the previous generation. It's never quite done. Avi Avi, Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav. In that sense, Eliyahu, a man who, you know, we never met his father until Elisha, he certainly didn't have a son, right? This idea that the work is unfinished, the work is always unfinished in some sense between generations, and what's left is for somebody else to carry the work forward. So Eliyahu becomes, I think, this model of unfinished business. And so interesting that five times, as Rashi quotes this in his commentary in the Torah, five times Eliyahu is spelled chaser. Hinei anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi. Again, I think the image is clear, the unfinished business. That Eliyahu's life and mission is not complete. Elisha will take over and hopefully achieve beyond which Eliyahu was able to achieve, but also Eliyahu's work goes on, and you know, he'll come back bearing this, you know, message of peace. Levavos albanim, lebanim alvosam, lefnebo yom Hashem hagadol vehanora, and he'll be able to sort of accomplish what he was never really able to accomplish and touch the Jewish people in the way that he always was meant to, but never really had been able to. And so, you know, where we leave off in terms of the end of Eliyahu's career is, in a very real sense, the idea of the limits of what we can accomplish. Eliyahu lived a life individually of great purity, of intense dveikus, cleaving to God. As Herb notes, that was much to his credit, but also limiting in terms of his ability to, not necessarily limiting, it didn't have to be this way, but it was in practice. You know, and this idea of discipleship, of students, of Elisha coming to continue the work on. So, in that respect, just to, you know, sort of zoom out and offer a concluding thought, we began our study this year of Sefer Melachim, you know, thinking a lot about David and Shlomo, and Shlomo, who was really meant to be an extension of his father and his father's vision for the world in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, and it started off that way, but then he lost touch with his father's vision. And then the conclusion we'll come to with the Eliyahu and Elisha narrative is Eliyahu is able to cultivate a successor in terms of imparting a vision, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Ufar Hashav. But the question of Mormon, and we'll talk about this, you know, this will be the main subject of, say, right after the holidays next year, again, before the holidays, popped on late. We'll definitely do a series. I haven't decided what it is yet. Some time to think about that. But will Elisha remain faithful to that vision? That's a very important question. It can't be taken for granted. David and Shlomo, it started off in a very positive direction, and then it unfortunately didn't last. Elisha obviously is going to be in a position of great consequence. Now, will he be able to remain faithful to Eliyahu's best virtues, all the while connecting with the people? And, you know, for those who know, will he then in turn be able to pass it on to the next generation when it's time for him to exit stage right? And that becomes the tragedy of Gehazi, all the things that we'll talk about. It's never so simple. But for us, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to close by thinking about this limitation that applies to all of us. We're here to do the work that we can do while we can do it. We try to achieve that which can be achieved. Every day is an opportunity in that sense. And then, of course, we seek to pass it along and to cultivate another generation. That's the sort of the essence of Yahadus. Is the idea of, you know, transmission and preparing people to, in an ever-changing world, to follow in one's footsteps. And to Eliyahu's great, great, great credit for all of his, you know, challenges in terms of cultivating a relationship with the people, never did quite get there. Malacha po Eliyahu. Lova Ruach Hashem, Lova Eish Hashem, Lova Rash Hashem. He was able to connect with this Elisha. And therefore the story can go on. Whether or not Elisha himself, tune in next year. So with that, we'll hold it up. I wish everybody in advance a wonderful Yantif, Shavuos. Enjoy so much being able to, on a weekly basis, you know, immerse ourselves in this incredible stories. And like I said, you know, at Elul time, we'll resume and look out for the notes about that when the clock will work again in our favor. I see it's getting late. It's always, you know, this time of year that the Mincha Maariv becomes, you know, a challenge. But we look forward to picking it up, and want to thank everybody for always joining and, you know, contributing, participating. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to do, like I say, every Monday night, and I know how much, you know, I look forward to it, and you know, how much I've cherished it over the years. So we'll continue on, God willing, in good health, come, you know, around August time. Okay. Signing off.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.